As we heard earlier on in the hour, it looks like the government is going to ink the TPP, whether they get the final concessions or not. So what's the deal going to mean for the country? Special Agricultural Trade Envoy Mike Peterson has been part of the negotiations for a number of years now and is with us. Mike, good to talk to you again.
Yes, good morning, Mike.
So are you confident or not?
I'm confident, but this deal's not done yet. And I think it's important to remember that agreement in principle by trade ministers doesn't mean agreement by leaders. And those meetings are happening tomorrow in Vietnam time, later on today, New Zealand time. And they'll be crucial to seeing this deal get across the line.
Okay, Canada, what would the Canada seems to be the problem at the moment. What have been their issues?
Canada, I think, are trying to pursue, like New Zealand in many ways, what they call a more progressive trade agenda, particularly dealing with some labour and environment issues. And I think, too, Canada does have some concerns around ISDS as well. ISDS has become really the poison chalice for many people, and it's become quite contentious in these trade agreements as we go forward.
Okay, so if we don't get the ISDS across the line and still sign, is that a major issue for us? Because the last government seemed perfectly happy with it.
I don't think there's any chance of removing the ISDS provisions out of this agreement, in spite of our government now making sure that they don't want to see ISDS in future agreements. That will remain in TPP. What we're doing here, though, is we're looking for some vehicles or side letters to limit the effects of ISDS by basically getting countries to agree not to pursue that particular clause with us in New Zealand.
So if we sign this thing as it stands, what's the value to New Zealand?
Oh, we're still talking about nearly 20% of the world's GDP and the fastest growing region on earth. For our exporters, there's no doubt that this is a significant deal, but I often say that the cost of being out of trade agreements can be far greater than the benefits from being in. And if we were excluded from this, frankly, we'd be really rendered uncompetitive in the Asia-Pacific for quite some time.
How many of these people in there, the 11 countries in there, are what you would call genuine free traders, and how many of them want to be free traders but that just can't quite bring themselves to do it properly?
Well, the majority are genuine free traders. But I think, you know, there's an irony here in that we've got the TPP meeting happening on the edge of APEC, where you've got the US trying to basically talk about eliminating free trade clauses in the APEC discussions, and right next door you've got TPP trying to increase trade. So,
exactly.
No, the majority of TPP countries are actually free traders.
Good. And while I've got you, where do we go from here in terms of other deals? I mean, EU, Britain, Russia, Saudi Arabia. Is the EU would strike me as a nightmare, given you've got 27 players all having to pass it all through the individual parliaments. Is that fair or not?
No, it's not fair. It does have some challenges with that, but the EU is a big opportunity. The EU wants to pursue a deal with New Zealand, and so they're moving very, very quickly, and I'm entirely confident we'll get on the page there. The UK is important, obviously, following Brexit. So if we could get TPP, the EU, the UK following Brexit, and also the Pacific Alliance, the Latin American tiger, then New Zealand's in very good shape indeed.
And what about Russia and Saudi Arabia? Can we park those for a while?
I think the Russian deal is a way away yet. And look, I know that Minister for Foreign Affairs, Winston Peters, is certainly pushing this hard. But it's really problematic when it comes to doing a deal with the EU at the same time.
Okay, nice to talk to you, Mike Peterson. I appreciate your expertise very much. Mike Peterson, a special agricultural trade envoy, and has been doing the business on the TPP.